Blog Talk Radio.
Gotta love live radio, I tell ya. Caitlin Pratt, I said, P4P Real Talk, man, that's Russell in the house. And this program is sponsored by P4P Muscle, the number one sponsorship foundation in the world. And if you are looking for a drug-free sponsorship and a vehicle to drive your goals, like what next?
Like a Mack truck through ice cream.
And like our minds through the insanity of live radio. Check us out at p4pmuscle.com. And now let's talk. We got craziness already, and I don't even know what happened. But, hey, we're here, and we're live, and we're happy to be alive. Yeah, something like that. Well, anywho, it's been that kind of day. How you doing, Des?
I am doing fantastic. I'm running into, well, you know, folks, I've moved into a new home, and so I just got internet installed, and right before the show, it decided to go out. So that's part of the issue, but praise the Lord, there's more than one way to skin a cat, and I'm here, and Kaylin's here, and that's all that matters.
Everybody's here.
Everybody's here. Awesome. So
yeah.
Fill us in on the everybody.
Well, let's do that. This is one of the people where we asked, all right, we've got international listeners, so we wanted to know who they wanted to hear from internationally, and this name came up quite a bit, quite often, and I'm not going to butcher her name because this is a tough one. It's a tough one, so I'll let her introduce herself. And we'll start the show. Hello, Tanika, you there? Can you hear me? Uh-oh. Let's see. Let me try again. I'm showing her. Yeah, she's good. Oh, the insanity of it all. Des, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay. And she's talking and we can't hear her, but she can hear us.
Is she on mute? Did she press the mute button? We've had that challenge before.
Well, I'll unmute it.
No, I mean, is she muted on her end? Did she accidentally press the mute button?
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
There she is.
There we go.
Sweet. No, I didn't touch anything. I promise.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, hello.
I touched it.
Yes, okay. My name is Tanika Hindman. I'm from Australia.
Oh, yes.
Yay!
Yay! Oi! Oi, oi, oi. Oh, it's been that kind of day. Well, please introduce yourself to our listeners. They're actually excited to talk with you because they've actually got questions coming in, and we're coming in before the show even started. So just give an introduction for the listeners that don't know you, which they'd have to be hiding under a rock, but just introduce yourself anyway, and we'll get the show started.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tanika Hindman, currently living in Australia. I represent the INBA, PNBA, and pro figure. I've been competing now for more than 11 years, but 5 years with this federation. So I've been on the international circuit for about 5 years. The last 2 years I've had a baby, so I've been out of action, but I'm back in the game. Currently just won the PNBA Universe in New Zealand, and I'm coming over to California to do the World Cup and Olympia in Las Vegas, and that'll be the 11th of November. So I'll be in your country very soon.
Wow, that's extremely exciting. So you're feeling good? You ready?
Very pumped. Baby bump's gone and back in condition, feeling great.
Awesome. So as Kaylin had referenced, we have already started getting questions from our listeners before the show even kicked off tonight. So you know that they're excited to hear from you. So I want to go ahead and start to get some of these asked to you. Cody.
That's right.
Yeah, and it will be, I'm sure. I'm interested in the answer to this question, too. So Cody is saying that American culture is filled with so many stereotypes. What are some of the ones for Australia, and how many are actually true?
Here in Australia, we're very fortunate. Well, especially in Queensland, we're a sunny state, I suppose like California is. But body beautiful, so everybody likes to actually get out and train either at the gym or at the beach. Now, because I fit into the figure category, everybody accepts the way I look. I look like a fit, athletic, young female. And so there's just basically everyone's like, wow, we want to look like you. Yes, of course, if I was to get leaner, harder and bigger, it does change. And the stereotype is, oh, you're a bit tomboyish. But I've chosen the right category because everybody thinks that I just look amazing. So, yeah, good point. If I was to put on another 5 kilos of muscle, I wouldn't fit most of my clothes. So I won't be changing the category. I'm happy within my own skin.
Well, there you go.
Well, and that's awesome. Yep, and love to hear that, especially with, you know, the varying thoughts about the female body image. Yep, and you got to love the accent, too. So how has your recovery been from recently having a baby? You said you have a toddler. I'm assuming around 2 years of age, boy, girl, name, all of that good stuff.
Oh, wonderful. Her name's Bella. She was born in March 2016, so she's 19 months old. I breastfed her till I was 13 months. So she only came off the boob in May. Female hormones took 8 weeks to settle. Basically, I had 8 weeks comp prep, if you want to put it that way. So all the baby weight, the last bit of baby weight came off in the last 8 weeks.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that's good. I mean, that's kind of an impressive prep. Kaylin, I've been monopolizing. Go ahead with the questions that you have.
No. I'll let you answer those questions because I have my own. Because she's a very unique individual in how she goes about doing her business. And one of the things that I've always been excited about is that energy that she brings no matter where she goes. And that had to come from some kind of childhood, just happiness and joy that you carried around or something you found in your teen years because you carry it quite well. And I'd love to hear how you just, you know, with the diet and the prep and the traveling, you still find that energy to just, you know, be you and then some.
I love people, and I've always had energy. I walk along the street and I smile at just about everybody. My daughter's the same. People are like, she smiles all the time. I mean, when I was carrying her, I was forever laughing, giggling, and talking with clients. So she's exactly the same. I grew up on a farm, so I had lots of fresh air, farm animals, moved to the city. I've always been energetic, threw myself into sports, playing on monkey bars and cartwheels and skipping ropes and whatever I could put my hand to. I've always been a go-getter. So throughout school, overachiever, joined every sports team you could think of, dragon boating, netball, cricket, hockey, tennis, swimming, everything.
Dragon
so
what?
In my adult, it just transferred into my adult life. I easily, without even thinking, train 6 days a week because I enjoy it.
Awesome.
Wow.
So, I mean, we've got that. You've got the bodybuilding angle on hook, and you've expressed some other sports. Are you currently competing in any other sports at this point in time, or you're just focusing solely on the bodybuilding?
Solely on bodybuilding, because with a little toddler, it's basically family, her gym, and work, and that's all I've got time for. But I definitely, in the past, have tried Ciroc dancing, which is similar to salsa. And in the first year of doing it, I went straight to the advanced level and got runner-up. So, yeah, whatever I decide that I want to do, I just give it 110% and have fun while I'm doing it.
And that's awesome. That is like the way to do it. So diving back into our listener questions, Dale wants to know what part of the world you have not competed in.
Good question.
Well, I haven't been to any of those countries like Russia, Japan, or the ones that don't speak English. So I've been to South Pacific, Rarotonga. So I've done like New Zealand, Australia, Rarotonga, lots in America, basically within the California, Las Vegas kind of areas, Dubai, and yeah, I went to Greece, but yeah, they're pretty much it. I'm still pretty young, so there's a lot of time, but I really love competing in America. Just easy to get to, and yeah, I just love it over there.
Awesome. Well, we love having you. And, you know, you have got
I was about to say, they love her.
I know they do.
Her.
You've got a lot of friends over here already. And I would have to say Eric Lipton happens to be one of those. And I know that the two of you are good friends, but he was just commenting on just how talented you are in all aspects of the sport, and that you have quite a phenomenal just knowledge base, great energy, his words, physique, just all around. He just likes you, girl. So
yeah, he's awesome too. We're a different kettle of fish. We just get along with everybody. And just, yeah, it's awesome. I come back for the PNBA, INBA family. We just click. Everybody's helpful. The spirit, the energy. I mean, the support. I first came to America in the year 2000. I was representing New Zealand because I'm actually a Kiwi living in Australia, and your country embraced me. I came by myself. I didn't know anybody. And then in that year, the amount of Americans clapping for me when I won, and I was just a rookie off the street, and I was well and truly overwhelmed. I even got an athlete recognition award that same year, and I was almost in tears with the hospitality and the love that I felt from, the Americans.
That is awesome. I'm glad you had such a warm and welcome reception. I want to take a step back, though, to, something that you alluded to. And when you came over here, you were just a rookie in the sport. What got you started in natural bodybuilding in general?
In university, getting to all the sports, it was just a bit hard, costly, and I thought, you know, I'll try the gym. And just seeing these older women with muscles, and they looked empowered, healthy, and fit. And I just looked up to them and thought, right, I want to be her. And that's when it all started. So my very first show was at university, and I won my little novice. And from there, getting back into, I suppose, eventually hitting the international stage, I was like, well, what's next? What's next? What can I do? So, the campaign, I suppose, just fell into my lap in 2010. I desperately asked the New Zealand Federation for sponsorship to make it to Olympia and won. And like I said, with the welcome I had there, I just kept wanting to come back. So, hopefully I answered your question.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, I mean, that's awesome. And it is just great to hear. I mean, I don't know and I would like to know more about the sport of natural bodybuilding in Australia. And I guess I do know somewhat because you're our second Aussie that we've had on the show, but our first female. But from your perspective and being a female bodybuilder, I'm definitely glad to hear that there were already women in the gym for you to look up to. But do you feel that as far as women are concerned, natural bodybuilding, it's a growing sport? Is it still kind of in its infancy, or where do you see it going in Australia and even New Zealand for that matter?
Oh my God, love. In Australia, it's through the roof. I left New Zealand to come to Australia because there were a lot more interested in the sport here. The support is massive. Off the top of my hand, we've got NABBA, WFS, WMBS, AMB, INBA, IFBB. There's like seven federations I've just mentioned. Off the cuff, ICN's another one. So that's seven now, all in Australia. So, yeah, it's phenomenal. If not in my gym alone, for every 100 people, there's been at least three. And we've got 2,000 members who have competed. So, yeah, it's well and truly accepted here. I mean, the biggest category for females is the fitness and the bikini divas. The nicer categories are sports models. Now, those numbers are through the roof here in Australia. Figure is probably taking about 30%, and then the physique getting more into the bodybuilding is a little less. But, yeah, of course, we classify and categorize everything slightly differently here in Australia to America, but well and truly 70% definitely fall into the figure category, bikini, fitness model, and yeah, no, it's warm and welcomingly opened over here.
All right, awesome. I have another listener question for you. This is from Margaret. She wants to know, how often a year do you compete, and how many shows is normal for your competition season?
Yeah, well, I'll just have a quick history rundown. In 2010, I did 15 shows. In 2011,
Whoa.
I did 17 shows. Now, that was me wanting to just basically get back into the game, kick ass, and just show everybody how good I was. So I just entered into everything I could think of in every federation, wasn't really loyal to anybody at that stage, jumping around, traveling all over the country. Okay, so bringing us to today, I've chosen the federation. That's the INBA, PNBA, Natural Bodybuilding. And I would typically choose a state competition in Australia, nationals, to then qualify for either a universe, a world, or an Olympia. So, yeah, basically a state, a national, and then straight to Olympia, all going well. So this year I did the Australian, I went straight to the nationals and won pro figure. Then 2 weeks later, went to New Zealand and did the universe and won pro figure and figure classic. Now I'm coming to California to do the pro figure and figure classic, both of them at the World Cup and Olympia.
Wow.
My.
So
yeah,
that's maybe 3 or 4 shows a year, but that's putting in 110% wanting to win it.
And nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all. Now, one of the things that, like I said, when I met you, you were just beaming. And Brian actually understands this as well, and he says even through your pictures, you know, he can see the life that you bring when you're doing that. How have you been able to translate your personality to a whole different culture and country? I mean, that's amazing in itself, where you can basically be anywhere and still be welcome.
I love performing. Now, as a little girl, I would look at the TV and go, oh, I'd love to be a sports model or a TV presenter or something like that. Well, I just never made the cut. So I bring that energy to the stage. So when I'm on stage, I want to shine like the brightest star on stage. I really enjoy it. I want to perform not only for myself but for everybody else and give them something to go, wow, that was really neat. So, yeah, it's in me. I've kind of always had that desire to shine bright, and I'm glad that I bring it with me whether I'm walking down the street or just taking a photo with my baby.
Awesome. I love it. Another quick question for you. Lakeisha wants to know how tall you are.
I'm a midget. I'm only 1.64 centimeters or 5'4". Now, if you put shoes on me, I'm 5'6", but I don't lie about my height. I'm 5'4".
And in a 5-inch heel, you're closer to 6 foot, so it's off.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, those heels and bodies. People are like, oh, you're actually shorty. I'm like, well, not super short, but yeah, I'm not 6 foot.
All right. So now I have a question. It's not bodybuilding related at all, but I'm going to go ahead and ask it here because I'm intrigued. Bill wants to know if it's true that the toilets flush counterclockwise where you are.
Oh, that's interesting, because when I push the button, the toilet flushes straight down first, hits the bottom, and just swirls around. So our flush goes down and then around. So I've never noticed which circle way it goes. That's hilarious. I would say it flushes normally, because I've been obviously all around the world. Some toilets flush, they fill the whole bowl first, and then it sinks. No, ours just goes straight down. So, yeah, it doesn't get stuck or flood or anything like that. That's a funny question.
Ooh, the things, you know, interesting, curious minds want to know. And I am right there with him. Good question, Bill. Good question.
Oh, it's a good way to spice up the throw. Throw a curveball in there.
There you go. Ah, shoot. All right. Back on track. Our next question is from Sarah, and she wants to know, how much did your muscle maturity help with getting rid of your baby bump?
I'll be completely honest, 100% muscle memory. I mean, I'm so conditioned. It's 16 years of lifting weights. So my body just went, oh, okay. So it was easy for me to get back into the gym. But with obviously breastfeeding and sleep deprivation, my workouts were like 45 minutes long, and that's as much as I could do because I was tired. But the body itself basically got back to where it needed to be in the first 8 months. So my upper body strength came back the quickest because obviously I had a cesarean. So the lower part took, I suppose, the neurological, the healing and everything else, took till when she came off the boob to come right. So my leg strength didn't come back until about 14 months. Yeah, post-baby.
I think Kaylin has an all-new phrase. He cracks up every time you say came off the boob. I think it might be a hashtag coming up in the future.
Dog slang.
I am sweating.
Oh, look, here's a joke for you. She still hides her dummy down my bra. She's like, boo-boo, boo-boo. And it's like, oh, yeah, she wants her dummy. So she puts her hand down my top and pulls out the dummy. I've never stored anything down my bra before, but, you know, there's always a first, right?
It is funny. You know, I had 3 kids. I nursed all 3 of them. I think it's one of the greatest things that you can do. But it's just fun. I think your accent just makes it all the more cuter. I just think that's what we have going on here. So, okay, I'm sorry. I've lost track in my questions that I'm supposed to be.
No, that's all good. When she puts her hand on my top, boys are like, oh, I wish we could do that.
Yeah, no doubt.
It's hilarious. It's a good little joke. It's funny.
No. Here we go.
I think I'm closer to good. Belinda wants to know if you are a personal trainer by profession, or what do you do for an occupation?
You're totally correct. I love the job. Personal trainer, and I don't call it a job. I'm going to play in the gym with my toys. No, I love personal training. I've taken it right to the length of being a Pilates instructor, group fitness instructor. I teach like a weights class similar to the Les Mills Body Pump. Didn't quite get into the teaching in the swimming pool because I'd much rather just be jumping around on stage or being in the Pilates stretch position or, yeah, PTing and verbally telling people what to do on the gym floor. But, I love my job.
Awesome. Very good. Very good. Now, I haven't had the chance to see you compete yet, but from what I've heard, you have a phenomenal stage presence. And I'm going to say a lot of that is probably attributed to what you just shared with us about just wanting to shine and sparkle and to really give the audience, you know, the best performance that you can. But kind of fill us in a little bit. How much time do you spend with posing? And do you have a posing coach? Is it something that's just natural for you? Do you have to work a lot at it? Just kind of how that part of your training comes along for you.
Well, initially when I started, for sure, I hired a coach. We had 5 sessions, and each time we'd do half an hour going through the poses, take some photos, put it on video. But now that I've done 71 shows, I don't need anyone to help me with that. Although it's nice to have feedback. So my partner will watch me and just give me some feedback on, like, angles, lighting, tilting in certain directions because my body's changed. He said I've got a nicer, fuller figure, yet, yeah, there's something different that looks awesome. So we've tweaked a few of the little angles to make it all come together looking, yeah, fantastic. But as for the personality, as soon as I start posing, I just beam. It's like showtime. The cameras are on, lights, action, camera, go. No, so, yeah, lately I don't spend much time practicing. It's all in my mind. It's just, you know, I can go to bed and just go, oh, yeah, I've got that, and check out a couple of photos. So twice a week is that, and maybe no more than six times before I've hit the stage.
Wow. That's impressive.
It's natural. I teach girls how to pose, and they're just like, oh, my God, you know, you just do it so naturally. Yeah, it just, it's a part of me now. It's just like muscle memory and, yeah, riding a bike, you just get back on and go, woohoo, I forgot how much fun it is to have the air running through my hair. And yeah. Yeah, it's good.
Oh,
I'm loving this.
Now, I have to be honest. When we were at the Universe and you were practicing backstage and all the competitors were back there because it was just so eye-catching. And that's all from your mind? This is not something you practice the routine where you're just making it up that day? Or, I mean, because that was just some amazing stuff. And for you to remember each step and actually make it look even better when you get on stage, it's very rare when you see competitors of all, you know, shapes and sizes rushing to stage to check out what you're doing. So you've got to be doing something right. But also, you know, it's truly a work of art when you can hit it like that, where everybody else is trying to see, you know, what she's going to do now. So you got something that works, and I'm so glad that you are doing it so well.
Oh, thank you. It's a case of, I just know how these things roll, and I've just done it so many times. So there's a confidence. I could be backstage, and the marshals pulling us together are, like, getting all stressed. I'm like, no, they've still got 5 minutes. I'm going to go and pump up here over in the corner and do my own thing. No, it's definitely not a stressful thing for me. I just enjoy it, embrace it. And as for knowing where to walk, is again, I just know, you know, it's like about 3 steps to the middle of the stage, strike your pose, right, look at the judges, you see the line, I just quickly, it just all happens really fast. And, yeah, definitely no stress. It's just, yeah, going through the motions. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I suppose that shows too. So the judge is like, wow, she's just full of confidence.
Hey, and that's what it's all about, folks. I mean, to get on stage, even if you don't feel confident, you at least should try to fake it till you make it and be all full of all, I mean, look confident if nothing else. Love to hear that. Couple more questions here. Where did they go? Okay, I'm going to find it again. Here we go. Mandy. Sorry, Mandy, you escaped from me from a second, but I've got you now. Mandy wants to know that being a natural competitor, how hard is it to get back into the groove, or how hard was it to get back into the groove after you had your baby?
Oh, it was a no-brainer, you know, nice, clean food, healthy eating, make sure you hit the sessions in the gym. So as soon as I decide to compete and I'm getting ready for a show, just means a little extra cardio. Yeah, fine-tuning macros, so getting into the nitty-gritty of how many carbs per session, fats and proteins, and adequate sleep. You've really just got to make sure you get trying to get at least 6 hours sleep with the toddler. But, yeah, and if not, napping throughout the day and being a personal trainer, I've got that luxury of being able to do that. So, yeah, it is a headspace, but I just enjoy the challenge. Apparently my personality has been like that for my whole life. You know, someone sets a goal and I'm like, right, yeah, I'm going to step up to the plate and hit a six.
And there you have it. So kind of tagging on to that, but not really, but I'm just going to keep rolling with it. Dana wants to know how long you had to practice walking in heels before it all came together for you.
Not at all. I put them on and it just happened. I wear sports shoes every single day. And, yeah, don't touch the heels until it's ready for stage. I mean, the first thing, it hurts my feet a little, but I'm like, lump it, suck it up, do it anyway, and not kidding, literally, I can just get out there and practice on my first time confident in heels from zero to hero. So, yeah, no, I've got the right size-fitting shoe, obviously.
There you have it. I don't know, Kaylin, if you had to practice walking in heels, how long do you think it would take you to get it? I mean, because you're pretty much a natural at almost everything you do also.
It probably wouldn't take long, and I'm ashamed to say that. But
good balance,
yeah,
coordination. That's it, right?
Long.
Wink, wink.
Well, I tell you what, Kayla's got a booty pop like none other, too. So I would not be surprised that he could pick up walking in a 5-inch heel like nothing.
And
oh,
not
yeah. Wouldn't mind seeing that one.
And not with an ankle. I ain't changed
you know
my
what?
Age, though.
I think if, oh, my. But if we can find the right size shoe, I think we can make that happen.
Oh, no, you can.
Oh, yeah. Bring it on. Let's have a look.
Yes. I am feeling a challenge here, and I, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
This has got to be a Facebook
be
Live
so
video.
On that.
What's that shoe?
Let's
there?
Do
what's
it. Let's do
there?
It. All right.
I know.
And
what's
pole
that,
dancing
what's
was enough. The pole dancing was enough.
11 or 12. Who out there can help us out? Who out there knows where we can find a 5-inch stiletto clear
oh,
top for Kaylin to wear? Just
you know
what's
going to happen now. All the shoes are going to come out of the waterworks.
I am serious. We talked about man pole. Kaylin Patterson was a man on a pole. We can make these things happen. We just need a little help from our friends sometimes. So feel free to message us, Midwest Muscle. All right. Getting back to the show. Brian wants to know, what are some of the rules that are different in the countries that you've competed in, and you know, and how are the cultures different when it comes to the sport as well?
Because I'm in what I class a neutral category, it's been the same in every competition I've been to. So our posing is very feminine and it's standard. So I know within the men's classes things can change a little bit, but for the better part, us women have it pretty easy. They've kept it simple, and we've never lost points for adding a little bit of flair to it. So, I would say that I turn up to all the different shows fully 110% confident that I'm doing the right thing. So.
All right. Awesome. Now, I know we had you talking earlier about your career as a personal trainer, and we have some of our listeners that are wondering how they can contact you. Do you have
Facebook, Messenger.
Yep.
So they're good. I'm on Instagram. Hey, look, I don't push Instagram very much. I'm still pretty much a rookie, even though I signed up 20-something. I can't even remember. But, no, in Facebook, and it's just the spelling of my name, and you've got it there listed in the link. So I'm the only Tanika Hindman in the world, so you'll find me straight away.
All right. There you have it, folks. If you want to connect, look her up on her social media platforms. And from the sounds of it, how redundant can I be from the sounds of it? It sounds like we have that are interested in possibly competing internationally. What advice would you have for a natural athlete that's looking to start competing outside of his or her own country?
Be confident within yourself. And if that is a bit of a struggle, have support with you. At least make a connection. Say, for example, if you're coming to Australia, hit me up. I've got connections all over Australia. My social media is full of Aussies and Kiwis in my Facebook, so I can always link you with the right person who potentially could help you. So to be completely honest, it's support, friendships that make it the most easiest to be able to do these international events. And like I said, I moved from New Zealand to Australia because the Australians have a good support network. And whenever we go internationally, there's always at least 5 people going. So you've got a team. That's by far the most best advice I could give. I mean, yes, I did it on my own the very first time. But within that one event, I made friendships all over the world. So unless you're an outgoing person like myself, I would definitely recommend either bringing someone with you for support or, doing it with someone, picking an event and doing it with somebody.
Well, there you go. And that worked just fine. Now, one of the things that you touched on, and I just love that about this whole industry of the natural industry, is that it is a family-type atmosphere, and there is a family bonding that seems to happen at every show. And, you know, it's very unique because, it's like I said, when I was in other sports, we competed, but it was against this person, and you had rivals. But now, like in natural bodybuilding, you basically compete off stage, but your family, when you get off, and everybody's basically helping tan each other and, you know, get everybody set up because nobody wants anyone to not look their best. Is that the same, or is this just something that's been, you know, because you've been on stage for a while. Is that something we grew into, or has it always been that way?
No, I definitely believe we've come of age, as to speak, and we now admire each other because we're unique individuals. We bring something, a different aspect to the sport. I mean, I follow people on Facebook, and I embrace their journey. Some people post a lot about training. Look at me, selfie this, selfie that, selfie this. I'm not too much of a selfie person, but I say, wow, that's awesome. So we encourage each other to keep doing what we're doing, look good, feel great. And when we turn up to the shows, again, it's just like, hey, it's so good to see you. Oh, you're looking good. And at the end of the day, it's the judge's decision, not ours. So, yeah, the best we can do is say all the best. And, of course, you can only have a top three and one winner. And even when those that don't place, they've put in so much effort. It's hugs and everything. And, well, you did great, babe. Hey, chin up. Maybe next time. It's great. In this particular federation that I'm with now, I've never had a problem, and there's been nothing but admiration, camaraderie, and, yeah, double high five to the champ, basically.
I love it. And I have to take a step back because I've heard you say a couple of times now that you moved to Australia because of the support system for the sport. What was that moment like that you decided –
Take
care of
baby.
Sorry, I missed that. You were cutting out.
I'm sorry. I just want to know, what was that moment like where you made up your mind to move? I mean, granted, Australia and New Zealand are kind of closest as an airplane flight goes.
Very close. They're only 3 hours flight.
But there's still different.
Where I just felt like I needed a change. I felt stuck where I was in New Zealand, and basically I had an opportunity to come to Australia, and I love the weather here. It's so much nicer here than in Auckland, New Zealand. And then the energy, and like I said, the support. I just packed my bags and went. I knew, look, I was going to give it a couple of years. My family were 3 hours flight away, and I could always go home if I wanted to, but I've now been here almost 6 years, loving it. My family knows that I'm not coming home, but hey, it's a 3 hour flight.
Yeah, and in the grand scheme of things, that's not terrible at all. But just the whole idea, I mean, even 3 hours, it's not far, but just different countries and, you know, just packing up, moving for the love of a sport. I mean, granted, that probably wasn't the whole thing, but it was a deciding factor for you. So I do find that fascinating.
Asked would I move to America, and I wouldn't move that far. It just feels like that's well and truly a whole nother culture change if I was to move that far. But I do feel the Australia, New Zealand, where there's so many Kiwis living in Australia and Australia's living in New Zealand, that it felt like I was just moving from one state to another. That's how it felt. So it was quite an easy transition for me. Sorry.
Sure. Gotcha. Jake wants to know, what does it mean to you to represent your country when you compete internationally, and does it compare to the Olympics for you at all?
Well and truly, the Natural Olympia is the last show for the whole year, and that's the biggest one. So that's the one where every country that has the INBA or PNBA in it, basically, we all work our way up to that one main event. So, yes, it does feel like the Natural Olympics at that one point. So that's the one in Vegas on the 11th of November for the pro categories. Yeah, no, by all means, that gives me the biggest buzz aiming towards that.
Wow.
And to kind of tie into that, go ahead. Well,
hold on, Des. It's you know, we talked about this last week, and I don't think you know, we can try to put it into words, but it's so different and it's so strange, and it's a feeling like no other. And to represent more than you, it has to make you feel more than, you know, normal. And even at that level, you're still that big ball of energy, and I just love it. And I'm sure that's what a lot of our listeners and basically a lot of our viewers are the same way, that you just basically have just found that niche and you've been able to, you know, cut through all kinds of everything to basically resemble all of us in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, like I said, hats off to that, and I got nothing but love and respect for you, because you do it and you're real about it. And I mean, Des and I both love real people. That's why we call it Real Talk, because you get to be yourself on the show. And thank you for that, and thank you for representing natural bodybuilding the way you have.
Oh, wow, you said it so perfectly. I couldn't have put the words into a better saying and phrase and what you just said just then. Well, you touched my heart just saying it. Thank you.
Kaylin has a way with words like that. Jane would like to know, what are some of the craziest memories that you have from competing internationally?
Crazy. Well, I have memorable moments, like in Greece when all the show was over, you know, going to the Greek islands and traveling on the water, crystal blue. Oh, beautiful. So, now I've got beautiful memories of the countries themselves that I've visited. So when I went to Chicago, even again, I went there on my own for that particular season. I put myself on a bus, grabbed myself a bike at the other end of Chicago, and did this massive big tour along around the waterfront there, jumped on a ferry, did a river cruise. I just got all these lovely memories of the places that I've been to, because I've made the most of it. I thought, right, yeah, I'm competing, but I'm also a human being in another country, and I want to go sightseeing and see what else there is to offer. So, yeah, I know it's not crazy, but I embrace the beauty of each city or country that I go to.
Awesome. Awesome. So, switching gears a little bit, it's what is today's date? It's October 25th, 4th. Anyway, you're a little over 2 weeks out from your next show. What does training look like over the next couple of weeks, and what's your plan of attack when you're actually traveling to the States to make sure that you're at the top form by the time you hit the stage?
Well, I've enlisted the help of John Gorman, who's an American. I've wanted to go crazy on myself, and he said don't. So at the moment, I'm actually doing my standard 6 days a week training. I've got some fat burn cardio of 45 minutes of whatever choice I want to do. So whether it's walking on the treadmill, doing one of my aerobics classes, or swimming in the pool, with at least a couple of HIIT sessions. So HIIT being high intensity interval training. I typically like to do the Les Mills grit strength type class, where it's half an hour and it's a full-body, really high-intensity workout. I like them the most. Or a 30-minute spin sprint session. Again, a class. I do well in classes with another instructor going, go, 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 sprint, go. So when it comes to that, I really do enjoy being trained by somebody for that high-intensity stuff. But, yeah, so I'm standard 6 on my own, with cardio, fat burn, no brainer, and the HIIT sessions. Nutrition is carb cycling, with the fats and protein staying the same. So for someone like myself, I'm light. I don't weigh much. I'm 54 kilos, if you want to do the math in pounds on that. But I'm basically doing 175 grams of carb on a high carb day. dropping it to 100 grams of carb on a normal weight training day, and then on my rest day, dropping those to only 60 grams. So it's almost like putting myself onto keto, ketosis, fat burn on my day off. And by cycling that, it's basically switching up my metabolism so it's still peaking. So by the time I do get to the World Cup in Glendale, California on the 4th of November, I should be right in peak condition. So, yeah, that's basically what I'm doing at the moment.
Wow. That's a lot of information. I hope the listeners were able to gather in some of that stuff, because that's a lot of good stuff. One of the things about when you said about coming to Chicago, like I said, that's where I got a chance to meet you. And I'm glad you got to see the sites, but that was one thing that you had made mention that you were going to do. And for me, that was one of the best memories, because there were so many top names, competitors, male and female, at that show, where you guys, I mean, it was some magical moments. And, you know, Kennedy's parents were there. And that's one of those where I have to tuck away, because it was so special that, you know, I almost forgot that I was even, it was so unreal. You forget that you were even competing. Like, it's everything happened.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
It's like all of that stuff happened, and you're like, well, yeah, there's a show happening too. Because, you know, like when you're talking about muscle maturity, I remember seeing Rico in Virginia, and then 2 years later I was seeing him at the Chicago show, and he's three times better because his body is steadily maturing, and that muscle has got all kinds of different looks, like you were saying. It's so much that happens in a year or 2 years, and to have those many athletes at their best looking the way they did, I almost forgot that I had to get on stage, and I'm not even kidding.
Yes. That's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. And speaking of getting on the stage, we have a very mysterious individual that goes by the initial D. So, D, if you're still listening, this one's for you. He wants to know, for the first-time competitor competing at the Natural Olympia, what are some of the things to expect?
Oh, good point. Okay, well, you typically think, oh, yeah, everything will run smoothly. It's the big one. Basically, the running order and the times of things, just expect to be waiting around longer than you think. They typically don't run ahead of time. Be prepared, have your little space backstage, be in the mindset that, okay, you know, I may have to prep half an hour longer than expected, but just put yourself into your little zone, and yes, it'll decrease your stress knowing to allow for those sort of incidentals. Pump up, make sure everything just feels like you've got your control. Because if you feel in control, you'll step out on stage feeling your best, because you've got it sorted. So obviously, being first-timer, it can be very nerve-wracking, but just put yourself into a similar scenario that potentially you've entered into a class that may be about the same level as yourself. So, yeah, they're all in the same boat. As long as you feel that you've done all the prep, right for yourself, then yeah, you'll be in a good headspace.
All right, there you have it. And Dee, I hope that was helpful for you. And we're running short on time here, which is a sad part of the show. But before we totally run out of time, would like to give you the opportunity to give shout outs to anyone and everyone who has been there for you to help you along on this adventure that you're on.
Well, coming back into the game, it's like I'm one of the, I feel like I've just been there, done that, and I'm just basically stepping back into seeing all my friends again. So I'm really looking forward to catching up with, like, the judges and things, Lorenzo, and there's just so many people. I can't wait to see Eric Lipton. We're going to have another photo shoot again. That's always fun. Ed Costillo, he's always, and his wife, they're always amazing to catch up. And they love everybody as well. They just, family. And Oh, so good. John Gorman, he won't be at the shows, but I know he'll be there in spirit. He's an amazing man, and I love reading his posts on Facebook, and that's basically why I thought, oh, I'll hit him up for the last few weeks of comp prep, just to put me back into the right headspace and keep me, basically keep a wrap on me, because I can tend to just overdo a few things. I just really want to come in with a full, tight package. In the past, I've been known to just go hell for leather and might lose a little bit of muscle, might come on stage a bit flat. But this time, you know, pulling in the reins a bit, coming in full and tight. So, sometimes it's important just to have somebody else accountable that you have mutual respect for. So, that's helpful. Other than that, my loving and supportive partner, Mark, who may or may not be listening right now, he's a nutrition coach for PH 360. And we fall into six categories of a type of person on a spectrum of a 360. And I'm an activator, apparently lean muscle, and do very well at this type of sport. So I'm blessed with genetics. And, with the right foods, it's all come together.
Hey, we have some special guests that would like to talk to you as well, if you have time.
Of course.
Okay, go ahead, ladies. Lady and the man. I'm all messed up. Go ahead, Andrea.
Hello, Tanika.
Hi.
Hello, Miss Tanika. How are you?
Oh, hello. Okay, I recognize that voice.
I'm the same height as you are, my dear.
Yeah, wow. Unique voice straight away. I'm like, hey, that's Ed. And I take it Andrea's on there as well.
Hi, honey. How are you?
Oh, I'm even better now. I'm like fully like, oh, my God, hi. We haven't seen each other in a couple of years.
I know. We just wanted to call and tell you good luck in L.A. and at the Olympia.
Thank you, honey. I always see you guys. See, that's what I mean by family. You guys post on, like, Angela Proyeo's posts and my posts. And, you know, you guys are just embrace all of us. And it's just, makes my heart sing to know that there's family all over the world.
I know. You're going to have to make another cheesecake moment with Eric and...
Yeah, that's right. I'll be lots of
okay,
fun.
Okay, I
got to
hear this.
Care. Eric and I get creative and just food and angles, lighting and all sorts.
Yeah, we just kind of came in honking and giggling and laughing. I think we had the people, the wait staff at the Cheesecake Factory thinking that we were all drunk.
Yeah, that's true.
Were you? That's what we want to know.
We were all just giggling and laughing and having such a good time that everybody was looking at us like, okay, we need to take a second look at these people.
No, it was one of those, hi, moments, and we just made a big scene. Like, we're just over excited, and that's all.
I wish you good luck with all your events coming up, and I know you'll rock it.
Thank you. Will you guys be at any of the events?
Right now, we're not planning on going to Vegas.
That's all right, sweetie. I know you'll be there in spirit.
Yeah, we'll be cheering you on, that's for sure.
I actually took this whole year off to rebuild, so... My next goal next year is to go there and try to dominate that stage. And I hope that we have I hope we get a great chance to see you there if you come again. It's always a pleasure.
In the very near future.
It's always a pleasure. And like I said, we love all you Australians. You guys are part of our family too.
Oh, thanks, Ed and Andrea. You guys are wonderful, beautiful heart souls.
All right. Well, we wish you the best of luck and safe trip.
Thank you, sweetie. All the best, too, with the rest of your year.
We send our love to your family too.
All right, kisses, love.
Take care.
Lot of love. I love a good love fest every once in a while. I sure do. I mean, all the time. It can't happen enough. But with that, I just want to say thank you for, I mean, what time is it in Australia right now? I don't even know.
Oh, it's coming up 11 a.m.
Okay, all right. So thank you for taking
the 20th of October, and it's 11 a.m. almost.
A day ahead of us. All right. So, but thanks for starting your day with us and helping us wrap our evening up here. That is awesome. And Kayla and I as well wish you the best. Do keep us posted. And we're going to have you back to hear how everything turned out.
Well, thanks, guys. It's been very amusing and interesting.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I hope the little booby memories stick with you, Kayla. I'll have to send you a little photo of Bella on the boob, kicking her leg around. It was so cute. Like I said, a breastfeed for 13 months. I think I got a 10-month-old photo there.
Oh, I love this show. There you go.
Hashtag on the boob. Hashtag on the boob. We love it. We have a hashtag game like no other. I dare anyone to hashtag harder than us. Really,
here
I
we go.
Do.
Here's but the challenge. We'll get Kaylin in a pair of high heels, at least with a photo on Facebook, and I'll send him a photo of nearly boob with the baby.
Awesome. And you know what? I really can't say anything to top that. And we're going to let Kaylin have his little laugh fest. I'll actually do his snickerdoodle shout out for him tonight. So, snickerdoodle, and on behalf of Tanika, myself, Kaylin, and the boys. I'm the boo and the boys from PCB
I'm
Muscle.
I'm so glad I'm late with the laugh. Yay.
Oh, so let's build it.
Oh, classic.
Good night.